Today is a feast of the visitation of our Blessed Lady, and the epistle is taken from the Old Testament book of Canticles. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping over the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, looking through the windows, looking through the lattices. Behold, my beloved speaketh to me, arise, make haste, my love, my dove, my beautiful one, and come. For winter is now past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers have appeared in our land, the time of pruning is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land, the fig tree hath put forth her green figs. The vines in flower yield their sweet smell. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come. My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hollow places of the wall, show me thy face, let thy voice sound in my ear, for thy voice is sweet and thy face comely. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. At that time, Mary, rising up, went up into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zachary and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So the words of today's Holy Gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I would like to tell you a story about a vocation to the religious life which came about in a remarkable way. It is the story of Mother Teresa Ball, who established the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Ireland. Mother Teresa Ball was named Frances at birth, taking the name Teresa at the time of her religious profession. Frances was born in Dublin in 1794 to a wealthy Catholic family, but she was sent to England to study in a school of the Institute of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Her biographer notes that from a young age, she was a bright, high-spirited girl, fond of fun, and with much depth of character. Upon her graduation from the school, Frances returned to her family in Dublin. Her father sadly had passed away, but her mother was determined that Frances should marry a wealthy man. Her daughter was 17 years old, wealthy, beautiful, kind, and generous. No doubt the only difficulty would be in choosing a husband from the many who would seek her hand. On an evening in March 1810, a ball was held for the highest society of Dublin, and Frances attended. In fact, the ball was held expressly in her honor. To her mother's joy, a long line of men asked to dance with her daughter. And she was sure that among them, Frances would find a virtuous man of her own social status. However, it was during one of the first dances, her biography notes, that an event took place which was to change the course of her life. As she swept gracefully through the ballroom, much to the admiration of those who looked on, Frances suddenly heard a voice say very distinctly, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you." So clear and unmistakable were the words that Frances actually turned over and looked over her shoulder to see who had spoken in her ear. But there was no one there. Without the slightest doubt, she knew she had heard these words, and she knew who had spoken them. It was the divine bridegroom who, even before her creation, had loved her with an everlasting love. From that moment on, Frances was a changed person. She had to be ordered by her mother to take part in the festivities of the evening, and when she returned home that night, she determined to seek happiness in God alone by pursuing a vocation to the religious life. When in later years Frances would tell the story of her vocation, she always emphasized the fact that never until the night of the ball had she thought of becoming a nun. But she did not have an easy path to the convent, for the members of her family, devout Catholics though they were, absolutely opposed her decision. Frances's mother in particular was adamant, and she used every method she could think of to hold her daughter back from the course she was determined to follow. With tears, Mrs. Ball begged and pleaded, "You cannot think of leaving me in my old age," she declared. "It is your duty to remain here and repay me for a lifetime of solicitude and soothe my last hours. Surely you will not leave me." Frances was touched, but unmoved in her resolve. Next, her mother tried increasing her dowry by an incredible amount, providing her with money and security for the rest of her life. When this failed, Mrs. Ball even went so far as to arrange a marriage for Frances without her knowledge, for she felt sure that Frances would not break off an engagement made on her behalf. But it was to no avail, for Frances steadfastly refused to be a bride of anyone but Christ. Things seemed to be at a deadlock, for the mother would not give her consent, and Frances was not yet old enough to be received into the convent without the permission of her mother. Then on a feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, Frances and Mrs. Ball attended Mass together at a Dominican church. The priest offering the Mass preached a short sermon on the life of St. Thomas, and in particular, he noted all the means employed by the family of St. Thomas Aquinas to keep him from entering religious life. "Think of the loss to the church and to souls," the priest exclaimed, "if they had succeeded in their impious designs. How can parents," he said, "face their God when they meet him at judgment if they refuse to give back to him their children whom he has lent to them?" These words touched the heart of Francis' mother as divine providence intended. At last, she gave her consent, and Frances was free to pursue her vocation with her whole heart and soul. She joined the Institute of Mary and eventually became the superior of the first house of this congregation in Ireland. She called the house Loretto after the town in Italy where the home of the Holy Family had been carried by angels from Nazareth. For the next 40 years, Mother Teresa Ball, as she was now known, led her sisters in establishing schools and orphanages all over Ireland, as well as in India and Canada. Zeal for the salvation of souls was her all-consuming passion. A priest who knew her well described her in this way. He wrote, "She was a woman of very superior mind, a natural dignity of character, and great firmness of will. Above all else, she wished to teach her sisters a spirit of obedience, simplicity, and humility." In serving God as a religious sister, concludes her biographer, Mother Teresa Ball not only found the happiness she sought, but led a multitude of other souls to love God too, and to find happiness in the wholehearted surrender to the divine charm of the tremendous lover, our Lord and Savior. Where would we be, my dear faithful, without souls generous enough to set aside the things of the world and answer God's call to serve Him in religious life? As the priest in the story exclaimed, "Think of the loss to the church and to souls. If even one young person walks away from his or her vocation or is hindered from pursuing it by the natural bond of a family." It is impossible to estimate how much good a single consecrated religious does by a life of prayer, sacrifice, and good example. Today we are celebrating not only the goodness of our Lord in calling the sisters to love and spend themselves for Him in a special way, but also their generosity in answering that call, some of them for over 25 years now. So many of the graces you have received, no doubt, have come to you through the daughters of Mary, graces both visible and invisible. Since their founding by Bishop Kelly nearly 40 years ago, the sisters have taught hundreds of children in their schools, assisted the sick and the dying, traveled all over the country to teach the faith and catechism classes. And most of all, they have collectively spent many thousands of hours on their knees before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Here they fulfill their primary work, which is to love the Sacred Heart and make reparation to Him for the ingratitude of men. Here they pray for you. They pray for your families and for your special intentions. I'll give you a remarkable example that happened just a couple weeks ago. During the Yativ of Corpus Christi, we received a phone call from the family of a 28-year-old man who lay in a hospital bed dying of bone cancer. He had indicated to his mom that he would let a priest see him. And I arranged for one of the priests to visit him that evening, as it was clear his condition was serious. However, once Father entered the room, the young man refused to see him. He told Father to leave him alone and to leave his room and don't come back. In vain did Father try to calm him down and assure him that he only wanted to talk, he wanted to help him. But the sick man was adamant. He would have nothing to do with the priest. Father, of course, was shocked, and he called me from the hospital to let me know what happened. We were both bewildered by his behavior, but he was determined not to see a priest, not to be reconciled with God on his deathbed. And we knew he had fallen in with the wrong crowd, which made this a dire situation. I told Father he had to leave, and we would keep this intention in our prayers and sacrifices. The next morning, I called the convent, and I asked the sisters to pray for a very urgent matter. Father and I stayed in touch with the family to see if there was any change in his heart and disposition. For two whole days, things remained the same, and we knew we were running out of time. But then, on the feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, there was a drastic change. The heart of Jesus softened his heart. The young man was now well disposed to see a priest. Father went right away and helped him to make a good confession and receive the sacrament of extreme unction and the apostolic blessing, which carries with it a plenary indulgence at the moment of death. And he put on the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. He was so happy to see the priest and so grateful for his visit. Since the Feast of the Sacred Heart, he was diligent in his daily prayers and tried to suffer patiently. Yesterday morning, on the Feast of the Precious Blood of Jesus, after having been reconciled with God, God called him to eternity. I have no doubt in my mind that it was the fervent prayers and sacrifices of the daughters of Mary that won for this soul the grace of conversion. And I am sure that there are many more stories like this, which are known only to God. My dear friends, be grateful to God for having called these young women to the religious life. And be grateful to them for having answered the call. Pray for the sisters that they may be faithful to their vocations and continue to offer love to the Sacred Heart and hope to a sad and dreary world. Pray that they may soon begin construction to expand their convent to accommodate their growing number of vocations. Pray too, my dear faithful, that God will whisper in the ear of many more young people, those words which Francis Bell heard so clearly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice. There is no peace or happiness which can be compared with that of doing the will of God. The world seems to offer much to the youth today, but our Lord has promised that whosoever shall leave family or friends or lands or riches for his sake shall receive 100-fold both here and hereafter. I ask you to pray for vocations. Offer up sacrifices to earn them from the heart of Christ, and pray for the young, that they persevere in answering the call to the priesthood and the religious life. As our Lord was generous in answering the sister's petition for that dying young man, encourage your children by word and by example to be generous with God, that he will bless us with many vocations for the good of the church and the good of souls and for your own eternal happiness. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.